Well, good morning. This is a little different one. I'm not sure if it's even going to make it to you, but we'll see. So, I hope you listened to last week's morning musing, the one where I got spooked. Well, if you've listened to all of these, you know that I, what I call, batch my podcast. So I don't record it on the morning that you receive it, obviously, because I have to upload it into Kajabi and write my little blurb and schedule the emails and that type of thing. And also because when I began these morning musings, they were just for me, really. They were for my mental health and a strategy to support me through a time that I knew would, was just not quite the norm and could challenge me and all that type of thing. Anyway, and then, and so I had been recording myself while I walked, not really thinking that I was ever going to do with them, and then they became my morning musings for you. So this morning, this is my second recording. So this morning is when I recorded last week's swooping morning musing. And but now I'm home and I'm showered and I'm actually sitting out on my back deck. Mark and Ava have left for work and I've got the house myself, which is so pretty rare, and I'm very, very grateful for it. But normally when I chat to you, I'm moving and I'm quite a mover. So I'm curious, one, how my thoughts will go when I'm being stagnant and still sitting here. And two, the wildlife. It's making me more conscious of it because I've got lots of big trees in my yard and there was like three ducks just in my yard having a little tiff. And so I'm curious whether it's going to be too loud or not. Sounds the same to you. And also, thirdly, I'm going to muse on a topic that wasn't what I had pre-planned or scheduled to chat to you about. This morning I am musing on the concept and the strategy that you acting and thinking like and being who you want to be before you actually are it, or acting like you have a result before it's actually there. And this is a concept and a little trick that I think trips people up, or they're not aware of it. And I really want to offer it, and I'm going to offer it with examples from my life, but this isn't just my own experience. So there is a coaching concept called the be, do, have. So it means, who do you want to be? What do you have to do to have what you want to have? So it's actually called the be, do, have model. Now in Empowered, it's again what I believe in. So it's, you know, dream it is. Well, what's the identity? What is the big vision of who you want to be? And then what's the reality? So what are you actually, what's in your world, what's going on, and what are your beliefs? And then live it is, well, then what do you need to do to achieve the dream it? So if you don't have that, then how do you know what actions you're taking? So it's something that I do believe in, but I want to give you some tangibles, because you're probably like, yeah, but I don't know what that means in real life, which is what we need. So and this morning I was actually thinking about my home. And so I'm going to give you a home and a work example, and I might actually give you a health example as well. And then remember last week I spoke about going to each podcast, going to each recording, going to each, even if you pick up a book off from a bookstore, like a personal development book, go into it thinking with the energy of, this could be worth, well, I'd give an example, say $200. What if you went into it thinking, this could be worth $1,500? This could have the value of $10,000. So, for example, my coaching, just the life coaching, was $15,000 for me to pay it. But then on top of that was also the traveling to Melbourne to do my face-to-faces, plus resources, plus then you add on all the other personal and professional development and things like that, and it's tens of thousands of dollars. Well, what if I went into everything thinking this is going to give me, you know, $50,000 worth of knowledge, this one piece? Because it only takes one sentence said one way to the right person and in the right moment that can change their whole life. And I know that's true because that has been my experience. And if you've read my little ebook, and I have probably talked about it a little bit, not much lately, but when I was that depressed teen young mum, there was one, so this is what I attribute to my whole personal journey and growth on, was this one moment. I know the exact, like the lounge room that I was in, it was this tiny, tiny little lounge room in this little duplex that Mark, Jesse and I lived in. And Dr. John Gray was on the, on Oprah, and he was giving the example of, he went to pick up his child from school and he was late, like it's for, like, and the child was there and was really angry when he got there and was saying, "You forgot me," and, you know, really cross. And then as that anger went and they got the anger out, then they just started crying, saying, "I thought you'd forgotten me," and got really sad. And what he was talking about was anger is a secondary emotion, like it's always hiding something else. And so he said, go and you need to, if you're angry, you need to find out what's underneath it. Now, at the time, I think I was about 21, sorry, Jesse was three, I was 21, and I went into my bedroom and sat at, you know, those desks that used to have the world map on top of it. Anyway, that was our desk, and I just wrote, and I started writing and writing and writing, and just, I was just writing about essentially everybody I was angry with, and I was writing about, you know, my parents and about my friends and about Mark, about like everybody. I just was like such a victim and everything was everybody else's fault. And I was just writing how angry I was. And then as I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, I wrote that I was angry at myself. And it wasn't conscious. It was just, I was just letting myself go without judgment. And I recognized I was angry at myself for being such a victim, for allowing other, like just waiting for other people to help me or make my life better, or for what they did to me or didn't do for me. And this light bulb moment came up. I say in my book, it's like, you know, the angel saying hallelujah, and I actually got my wake up call that my life was mine to choose, and it wasn't up to Mark or my parents or my friends or anybody else to make me happy, sad or indifferent. That was the moment where that concept, I felt like I was ready to hear it, and it came in to me. And I really didn't mean to tell that story this morning, but that's just come out, so that's meant to be. So that little moment back when I was 21 was the catalyst that started me on this journey. Now I'm 48, I'm going to be 49 next month, so I'm still a work in progress, and that's a long time ago, that's decades ago. So sorry for all of you who want that quick tablet, you know, that quick fix, that do this one thing and then, you know, you've got your emotions and your mental game under control, because that's not how life works. But that thought made me think, I just started thinking, well, what's in my control and who do I want to be and how do I want to be? And those started questions, they started. So I didn't have the things that I have now, but I got to start daydreaming about them and thinking of them differently. Now, at that time, at 21, having a waterfront home was, and two businesses that I owned was inconceivable. Like that wasn't even on my radar. But what would have been, and what was that I could be happy, or that I could have a really positive relationship with Mark, that we could stay together. Because when we were young, I just listened to, you know, negative people in my world who said, you know, teen pregnancies can never, you know, relationships will never last, blah blah blah. But that's not true. That was just one lens. So they were the basics that I just started thinking, well, I can be happy. And so then I started noticing, you remember your activating system? So I started noticing people who were happy or in love or who had positive relationships that were teen parents, all that type of thing. So it just started small. And I really want to remind you of that, because wherever you are, even if you are in a really hard place, you just need to take that. I don't mean to say you just need to, it's hard. But to just aim for one better thought or feeling. That's your goal. That's your goal. And I've shown you before in the Facebook group the scale of consciousness. It's just going one bit up that level. And then if we keep doing that, that's how we snowball our life into something that is beyond our wildest dreams. And I'm living proof of that, which is why I can adamantly say these concepts are life-changing. So three examples of how I had to have the identity of the person before I had the results. So one was in terms of house. Now, this is different. Remember, you're not like me and I'm not like you, but I love you to take these off and think, well, how can they apply to you? What's the area of your life? What's the area of your behaviors where you can give this meaning to make your life better? Because me taking this time now is from my heart to yours to say, I feel like there's something in me in this life where I'm meant to communicate and help you see the illusions that are holding you back. And that's actually written in the stars of my birth date and everything. So I'll keep riffing on, and I know that it'll impact the people who are ready to hear it and meant to hear it. And how exciting that you could be at that precipice where you're about to hear one thing that could change your whole life. Like, imagine if you went out into the world and that's what you thought. Because I just think it gives you options and it gives you hope. And we need more of that instead of the same old fear and behaviors that we aren't enjoying. And then we keep doing them every day. So, yeah, hopefulness is a pretty cool feeling, but it's also not a strategy. You have to have faith as well. But again, sorry, I think that could be another chat. Here I was thinking I wouldn't have anything to talk about if I'm still and stagnant, but maybe it's the opposite to what I had thought. So my house, I was thinking about this house. My first home was a very, very tiny little house that we knocked down, but we loved it. Like, I was so happy in that house. We had so many good memories, and it was the tiniest little thing in the world. It had a crooked floor and termites, and mark on my bed was, the bedroom was so tiny, the bed was actually pushed into the corner and you still couldn't open the cupboard properly, which is so fun. And I love having those stories. But then I started designing a house to move into, and I didn't know if we were ever going to do that. But I just started sketching it and drawing it and picturing it and picturing us in it. And lo and behold, you know, that sort of ended up evolving into the world. And then as time went on, and we got the ping, Mark and I, for Waterfront, and that conversation kept going round, and we had it for about 3 years before we bought this house. But something I did really consciously, like, I was very, by that time I had done a lot of exposed myself a lot to manifestation and things like that, which I don't talk a lot about on here, but I think I probably will sometime. But I really had delved into that world, and truly just prayer and total responsibility for my own self and life, and really leaning into love as you know, the best strategy, and all these types of things that I haven't really dug into or offered out to you. But so in that home, I got to a place, my previous home, not this one, where whether we bought or not, I believed that I needed to feel in me the feelings, the joy, the calm, the gratitude, the peace, the abundance, the prosperity. I wanted to feel all of that in my previous home before we had this home. So I didn't want the illusion that buying this waterfront home would be the answer to anything, that would give me feelings. Because that's actually not what happens in life. And this is an illusion that we have, that when we have this, when we do that, when this person stops doing that, then I will. And that's the blog I wrote, which came out on Sunday the 17th, I think it was. I think the date is the 17th. So if you go back and you read that, that's sort of the preface I'm getting to. We do this when-then game in life. And I knew better than that. And so I spent a lot of time journaling, I suppose meditating, being so present and so grateful for my home that I was in, and I cared for it, and I like stepped up my, you know, my identity around how it was presented, and yeah, just really looking after it, which before I don't think I had done that as much. My priority was always, I think, more on business, enjoyment of work and stuff, but I was able to bring that into that home so that it became it. I just had the feelings of abundance and calm and prosperity and manifestation and joy. And whether we bought a house or not, it didn't matter. I had those feelings in my body and in my mind and in my heart already. And I truly believe that's why I was able to manifest this house that was more than what we dreamed of. So that's one example for you. My other example is in a workplace. So I this will be a little bit different for some of you, even though some of you are early childhood teachers. But in I see the groups, and oh my goodness, the amount of complaining and bad environments, and you know, this person's doing this, what should I do? And I read them, and I feel like writing back, and I don't, because I want to really make sure I'm gifting people if I'm going to communicate. But you've got a choice. You stay or you go, and you can choose to be content and happy if you're still there. And I've had that experience. I've been treated very poorly in a workplace, and I do admit it did upset me. I did have tears about it, and I did. It was really huge, and it impacted my family and things. And I had to do a lot of conscious mental and emotional work to be okay in the role. So I'm not saying it's easy and that people should just know how to do it. This is why I think you need to have coaches or therapists, but or at least really, really great friends who can talk you through things. But for me, the shift came from my own mental and emotional game. It wasn't because a different person had changed their behaviors all of a sudden. So in one instance, I was really challenged by somebody, and I just kept journaling. I kept really coming back to me going, it's not about them, Kath. This is a lesson for you. It's a lesson for you. It's a lesson for you. What are you supposed to be learning? And then once I felt that come through my body, and I took full responsibility and could move to a place of peace and non-reactivity, guess what? The person ended up leaving. I know, it's so funny. And then the same thing happened in a different instance as well. So I am offering this because when we are sitting in the when then situation, we're giving our power away. So I'm all, this isn't called empowered. I want you so compassionately and so kindly to find how to create a feeling of empoweredness in yourself, because it is honestly the most freeing feeling for yourself, but it's also really beautiful for your children because it reduces your reactivity to life. So I hope that musing is okay. Sorry, I did say I'd give you a third example. So health, I think, and well-being, I said I was going to give you, which I don't know. I'm curious whether I can really speak on this or not, because I think this is still such an ongoing journey for me. But I'll give you the little example of currently I'm doing Pilates. So a couple of years ago, I saw that there was a reformer Pilates, and that I just thought, there's no way I could ever do that. I could never afford that. I would never, like, in my head, I just thought that I just wouldn't pay that money for that. I couldn't do it. And well, now I do. I have a membership, and I go. So there's twofold. One, from a financial perspective, or just an identity of, no, actually my well-being, my physical and mental state is so important, which I'll go into in the next podcast, that it has to be a priority. So then that became the priority over the finances. Remember when I say to you, there's two priorities, you can have two priorities at one time, but when you make a decision, one has to outweigh the other. So in that moment, I've chosen my health and well-being over the financial aspect of it. But also, there are times in that class where I can nearly cry because I'm such a quitter. So this must come from my childhood. I'm like, okay, I'm out, done. I don't like things to be hard. I don't like, as in physically hard. Like I watch the block and I think, no way, I just couldn't. The lack of sleep, the physical effort, the no food, the mess. I'm just like, I just have no desire. There is no way I could do that. And I've been in gym classes before where, you know, we've had to do these bear coils. It's too hard, so I won't go back. I fully am a quitter. I admit it. I know it. I am working on it. So I'm not going to have that identity anymore. So I'm not going to say I'm a quitter because I'm not now. But there has been moments come up where the tears are nearly there. I'm like, I just want to walk out because it's too hard. I can't do it. You know, that type of thing. And I watch my mental game when I'm in this and I think, far out, Kath. It's like I'm a completely different person. It's more my, this child stuff comes up, I feel like. But I'm sticking to it. And so when I'm recording this, I've been 5 days in a row, I think, which is the first time in months. And I just have to keep telling myself, this is who you are now. This is what you do. So I'm going to have that imagery of thinking, so I can see women in there who are so competent and can do it so well. That's not where I am, but I have to believe that's just who I am now and then do the actions that follow. So to keep going regularly, that's the only way I'm going to get to be those people. So if I want to be as competent, say, just giving this Pilates example, well, it's not going to happen by me sitting on my couch, is it? I have to keep going. But then how do I get there? Is by having the identity and making the choices to go, this is who I am, this is what I do. So how does this apply to you as a mum? Say you think, well, no, but it's just impossible, I can't, I get frustrated with my kids all the time. So there are examples of mothers in the world who are much calmer, for example. So you have to have the identity of, actually, no, that's just who I am now. I'm the calm mum. Even though you aren't exactly right now, but you having that identity is what will then make you take the steps and the behaviours. And that's what you'll be looking at. Your reticular system will be thinking, well, what do I have to, where's examples of that? And then also you're going to be, what are things I would do if that was who I was? So if I'm a person who goes to Pilates, I go to Pilates. But if you're a calm mum, then you take a breath instead of yelling or reacting. So think of the areas in your life that seem out of your realm of possibility, because we're here doing dream. Like, this is, we're on a dream journey together. Life can be so much more amazing. What if you've been separated or you're on your own and you think, you know, another love could never be for me, a second love? Well, you know, I'm not saying you have to, but it could. Like, that's not impossible. It's happened to millions of people in the world. If there's a different home, if there's a different size you want to be, if there's a different job you want to have, just start playing. But you'd have to be thinking, that is possible for me. Remember the possibility and potential? See how it all comes in together. So anyway, goodness, this definitely was my longest one, but thanks for sitting out on my veranda with me. The wildlife wasn't noisy this morning, was it? It was gorgeous. So I hope you have a beautiful day and keep dreaming and up-leveling, you gorgeous person, in a really beautiful way for you. Not in a proving, striving, competing, comparing way. That's not what we do around this place of developing dreams. You just be you, and you come back into your own heart and your mind and what matters to you. And it might be that you want to finish reading a book. That could be your big goal, and that is absolutely perfect. All right, I care about you. Bye.